So how's everybody doing? There we go. Hiya, folks. We're here. We're live. It's Tuesday, August 29th, 2017, in our third episode of Revenge of the Sis. This is a show where we refuse to apologize for being 90% of the population. I'm Mersh, and along with me is my hetero life partner, Royce Lopez, no homo.
Hi, everybody.
We are the two heroes prophesized to come and save Western civilization.
I thought we were supposed to destroy Western civilization.
Well, the prophecy's not clear, but we are here.
But
so
we're here.
Whatevs. You know,
we're gonna play it by ear.
This will go either way. But thank you for joining us for our very special third episode of Revenge of the Sis. We have a lot of stuff to cover today. As we promoted over the last couple weeks, we have very special guests coming in today. Stuart from the old Hooter and Greenway days.
Yep.
And our good pal Josh Z, they will be coming on in the second hour, and they will be debating cryptocurrency. And such as Bitcoin, things like that. So if that's something you've been interested in, me and Royce don't know shit about it.
No, we're going to learn. Yeah, we're going
to
learn.
We got two guys that do know about it. That's the beauty of radio. We don't have to actually do any work. We're just like, hey, what do you know about Bitcoin? Cool, you want to come on tomorrow? All right, sounds good. Beautiful. So we're just going to coast on the talent and the research of others,
right?
Basically. So that's coming up in the second hour. And in the first hour, I guess, first we should probably say Houston Strong.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Did something happen?
Yeah, something rain.
Yeah, it's bad.
Basically
it's a low
pressure system.
Yeah.
Moved in to the Houston area. And, you know, people are shocked.
Yeah, I mean, and of course it's flooding really, really bad now. And they're opening up dams as to keep, you know, infrastructure open, so they're reflooding cities. And I think, you know, number one, so far from what I understand, only one person's died, right?
Eight.
Still, honestly.
Pretty good.
Coming from
Living in the Western Hemisphere pays off because eight people die, you know?
Right. Yeah. So you know, that's pretty nice.
And Alex Jones was to cry about his FEMA camps, but let's be honest, eight people's pretty good. So
yeah, that's not bad at all.
But yeah, I guess apparently, does anybody see the irony in knowing too that like they took all the people from Katrina,
yes,
like 10 years ago, and moved them all over to Houston? Like literally,
it is pretty crazy.
All of the people that left Katrina, like, oh, thank God, nice high dry land here in Houston, Texas.
And then it's like, no,
everything's gonna be smooth sailing from here on out.
Well, I think one of the biggest stories that came out of this that everybody is pretty much on the same side, which is really rare, is Joel Osteen.
Yeah, but I think everybody's always been on the same side about Joel Osteen. I think even the people at Joel Osteen's church are kind of like, I don't know.
I've seen some fat girls on Facebook that really like him.
Yeah, but I mean, because he's got nice teeth.
Right.
And he has money to pay for all their food.
Yeah.
That's probably why it is. But it's always like really brainwashed. And my mom was one of those people. And I love my mom. God rest her soul. She was a saint on earth. But no, she was all into that prosperity preaching,
right,
or shit. You just keep giving me money and somehow you'll make money. Like, legitimately, they're just ordained Bernie Madoffs. They're just taking your money. But yeah, he refused to open his church to the flood victims, claiming that he himself
was a victim of the flood.
Was a flood victim. That that Lakewood Church was inundated with floodwaters, and it was, I believe he said, and I quote, of biblical proportions.
That is correct.
And then the pictures came out.
His church is nice and dry.
Fucking bone dry.
Cars in the parking lot.
Bone dry, cars in the parking lot. I think I saw a barbecue grill.
I'm pretty sure
I saw some people tailgating at Lakewood Church. But as much as I am against internet lynch mobs, and they always seem to go after these... They always seem to go after people with little to no evidence.
That's true. I would agree with that.
Literally, like the DSI Theater in Raleigh, and I'm sure I'm the only person in the world sticking up for Zach Ward, but like this guy got his whole comedy theater shut down because a bunch of comedians were like, well, he's weird towards girls. And they literally got their only comedy venue shut down in the city and then patted themselves on the back like, hooray, we did it. You fucking improv idiots. Now you have nowhere to do your dumb improv.
Yeah, every once in a while something comes along where everybody agrees this guy's a douchebag. And I think Joel Osteen absolutely is a douchebag.
One of the first times an internet lynch mob really paid off where everybody was just like, fuck this guy.
So from what I understand,
$50 million he's worth.
The initially at the dome they fit at the film in Houston they had it for 5,000 people, but there's 9,000 people now, so they're over capacity. So people are going to be sleeping on the floor. Olsteen's church holds
16,000 and change, like 16,800.
It used to be a basketball arena.
It was the Houston Rockets arena. Right. And granted, you know, it's the Houston Rockets, but it's still an arena.
Yeah. Yao Ming played there. He's a tall gentleman, so you know it's a big arena.
Holy shit, I forgot about Yao Ming.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, what a fucking gimmick that guy was.
Yeah, seriously.
He's so terrible at basketball. Yeah, but he's like 11
but
feet
he's
tall.
Really tall. So Joel Osteen decided that he was going to finally now, after a bunch of backlash.
Like, I've never seen, like, the alt-right and liberals and just everybody on Twitter was like, you fucking piece of human garbage. Like, they were just piling on. And every once in a while, you would type, like, me and my wife are praying for all the strong people out here in Houston. Everybody's just, go fuck yourself. Why don't you open your church? You feel like he couldn't do anything yesterday without getting bombarded with hate. And I couldn't be happier. Mm-hmm. I won't be happy until he has had 50 million people accost him in the streets. One for every goddamn dollar he's made off of this bullshit prosperity preaching. Oh, I hate him. He's the biggest piece of shit.
He is terrible.
It really hits close to home with me with people like that because, like I said, my mom went to one of those churches. These fucking scumbags here in Orlando, they literally branched out the church that my mom went to. And the son now is here in Orlando, and I'm not going to say the name of the church, but it's one of those mega churches. And the fucking guy owns a plane. Like, my mom died poor of cancer.
Right.
They didn't even call her. You know what I mean? It was like, there was this really awesome pastor, Steve Dupree, out in Holly Ridge, North Carolina, that was like my mom's pastor in later years.
Right.
And he came, and he did a whole service for free, and he like, that, like, there are dudes like that out there.
Right.
But I will never, ever not want to punch a prosperity teacher right in their fucking breadbasket.
Well, that's what I was telling you off the air, too. It's like, you know, I would say you and I wouldn't consider ourselves religious people. However, what this does do is people with Joel Osteen does shit like this. It makes the small churches that are out there now in boats and shit actually helping people. They lump them all into one, like, see, Christians are all bad. You see what I mean? They don't help. I think one of the funniest things that, and by the way, a site I recommend that you follow if you like to laugh on Facebook is Occupy Democrats, their actual site.
Oh, Occupy Democrat. I thought you were talking about a different website you can't go to anymore unless you have a Tor browser.
Yeah, it's a different one.
That's a hilarious site too. Sorry, but anyway, go on.
they were posting like, oh, I wonder if all the people in Texas now are going to be thinking that the government's bad considering it's there to help them. I'm like, that's a really weak argument.
Yeah, and by the way, the government is bad. It's not bad during a fucking hurricane.
Right.
It's one of the few times, and I'm hardcore Ron Paul libertarian.
Right.
I hate government. Strip it down. Department of Education, fucking get rid of it.
I don't care.
I
agree.
But when it comes to massive, like, winds, storms, flooding, there's always some, like, weird, like, Paul Joseph Watson's always out
yep.
there. They're starting FEMA camps, and I'm stocking up on cigarettes. Like, it's fucking... This paranoia. No, you like I lived in North Carolina. I lived in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. If anybody looks that up, it's literally where every hurricane lands. Like, if it doesn't end up in Florida or Texas, it always hits the Outer Banks. It's always the first place devastated. And it's to the point where, like, if you live in the Outer Banks, I lived right on the Atlantic Ocean in a beach condo. People are like, wow, it must be fancy. But it was literally like $700 a month because they were these patchwork beach condos and nobody ever bothered to repair after these major storms because it's the Outer Banks. Like, we're like, whatevs. But, dude, the government, as fucked up as they are, they will be there pulling people out of water. And they're not putting you in camps, you fucking idiots.
Here's my view of the government. And by the way, with the FEMA, people go, oh, this government. They play the zero sum game where it's either you have to completely worship the government or you hate it. And here's the thing. Look, I'm not Mr. All taxation is theft. I'm not crazy. All right. I understand.
Fucking statist.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm not. But my point is that, yes, the government should be helping people, because if we're paying taxes, if something were to happen to me, my taxes are directly benefiting FEMA coming and helping me if something happens.
Yeah, this is America insurance.
When we say that we don't fucking like government, we're talking about us giving money so somebody could get an art grant to fucking throw a crucifix and piss and get paid for it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about when I talk about government is fucking terrible.
There are good people at FEMA. There are good people at the VA.
Of course.
When we say we hate government, we're talking about you, Paul Ryan. Just you specifically.
Right.
That's every time anybody in this country says, I hate government, we're talking about Paul Ryan and his fucking smug face.
And Mitch McConnell.
And Mitch McConnell and his sinky face.
Oh, my God. He looks like a bullfrog.
He really does look like Droopy the dog. It's sad.
You know, I think the fact if it wasn't that he looks so much like Pepe, maybe he wouldn't be so against Trump.
I'm going to filibuster.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally, every time I see Mitch McConnell, he just looks like a sad fish.
He's the only guy in Alabama who talks like that.
Never Trump. Like, it's just like, okay, we get it,
He
Mitch.
Really is a Hanna-Barbera character. Mitch McConnell is a Hanna-Barbera character.
We're going to block this bill if it takes every last ounce of our energy.
We're not going to let the government default.
You and John McCain.
Oh, my
both.
God.
Just enough of both of you.
Fucking enough. But no, I mean, it's like, yeah, there's a stark difference between taking our money to give everybody an iPhone.
A Tony Stark difference.
A Tony, yes, you're right. I apologize. Anthony Stark. You don't know him that well.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, no, actually, I do. I was a sponsor.
If capitalism's so bad, how come Iron Man is a capitalist?
No, like, honestly, I was an Iron Man sponsor. That's why there's that one storyline in the comics for a while where he just got drunk and rode around in a suit and killed
Which
people.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's probably the best storyline ever.
Most realistic.
Yeah, I think Frank Reynolds was a sponsor at that time. Nah, go ahead, Tony. You earned it. You work really hard.
Would you like an egg for this trying time?
Oh, fuck. But yeah, so just, like, I don't know. And it's weird, too, to see the people in Houston are actually, like, yeah, we're all racist and we're all terrible people in this country and we all hate each other. We do. It's just, America's a weird family. We hate each other.
But like, we're family.
Yeah, like I had to go recently to my nephew's funeral, which was horrendous. It was really sad. And I had to see my family there. And I'll admit, I was fucking dreading it because my family, like, it starts with me and it just gets worse. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to my family, it's listening, but we're a little bit odd. And, but I was proud when I went and I saw, like, dude, everybody was sober. Everybody showed up. Nobody made it about them. Like, it was really dignified for my family. And it's like, it kind of made me realize that, like, America's the same way. It's like, you know, you go to, like, an event or you go out, you're like, ah, Christ, I got to see these fucking people. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, trust me, everybody in this country doesn't like each other. But at the end of the day, it's like, when your cousin has a gambling problem and he gambled away all his money and he's drunk and he's got a barrel of a gun in his mouth in an alley in Vegas. Yeah, you don't give him more money and cocaine, but you buy him a bus ticket. You get him home. You try to help him. Like, and it's cool to see the people in this country, white, black, Confederate flags flying, fucking.
Yeah, there was out fucking, there just, you pointed that out. There was boats with the Confederate flags on it, just, you know, helping people, black people from the, it doesn't matter.
Dude, there were people in North Carolina and the Outer Banks. We would get fucking hammered by hurricanes. And I mean, everything would get wiped out, which is why nobody really had any nice things. Like, we all just were like, yeah, beach life, nigga.
Right.
But yeah, we've had people in that community all of us universally hated. But it's like, if they're the ones that are experiencing the flooding, they're the ones whose windows are blown out from wind damage. It's like those, we still will go over there. Like, let's help them clean up. It's going to be a fucking wreck over there.
Right.
It's like, you pitch in. You can go back to hating each other when the fucking rain clouds blow away. And you go, all right, I fucking hate those people again. But it is nice to see some shred of humanity left.
I agree. I would.
Other than Joel Osteen.
Right. And don't get me wrong. The fringe is still being the fringe. There's still people that are screaming. But notice all the people that are screaming about how evil everybody is. They're not the ones in Houston helping people. You know,
they're a bunch of fucking cop block faggots.
Right.
That are just constantly like, duh, but stop. It's not always some sinister thing.
It's not.
And by the way, hurricanes aren't racist either.
Well, what about you? You posted something today, actually, that was, or last night, you retweeted somebody saying, if you need to help out LGBTQ people in Houston, and you were like, how about just people?
Yeah, it's
like, why are we playing identity politics with this? Everyone's verified on Twitter, by the way.
Some new fucking dykey broad with a fucking blue check mark next to her name that nobody's ever heard of up to this point. Well, she did a show on CISO, so you mean, you know, she's coming up in the world.
No, what's that?
Exactly. It's a dead company is what it is.
Okay.
She might as well have a show on Minidisc. Fucking asshole. Cameron Esposito is her name, but she wrote something to the effect of, she's researching ways to support Houston's LGBTQ+ folks. For the past few hours.
Now, are there any reports of the stadium or any place refusing gay people?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I'm curious if there was an epidemic that I was missing.
Not in 2017 in America. Had to cross a rainbow crosswalk to get to the arena, to get into the fucking place. I'm pretty sure it's fine.
Yeah.
All right? I'm pretty sure everybody was screaming, yes, honey, in front of the fucking arena.
Right.
It's fine. You guys are fine. Okay, Matthew Shepard was fucking, 1996? Over it. Christ. Sorry. It's annoying. I basically responded to her, how about you just support Houston's folks?
In general.
How about anybody underwater right now? Just get them on the boat and get them some bugles and a nice fucking Gatorade.
And anybody politicizing this. I mean, it's again, right now, so far, at least at this moment, Trump's response has been good. He sent pretty much everybody there.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's mad that he didn't fly down there and dive into the floodwaters immediately.
What do they want?
I mean, seriously, the only president to ever really show up in Ground Zero like a maniac was Madman 43 G-Dubs.
Yeah.
Like, he just showed up with his dumb work boots, and he was like, we're going to get these guys. And he was literally, but he was dumb.
Right.
He was a dumb person. I'm sure there was a whole team of people at the White House, they were like, just don't go there until everything blows over.
Yeah.
Like, we got to go down there. Unite people.
Show them we're not scared.
I'm a uniter, not a divider. But, you know, Trump was like, we could wait. But it really does, if it makes sense when you think about it, because you just get in the fucking way. Like, is Trump going to roll up his sleeves and start lifting boxes, you know, and fucking hopping off a helicopter, rappelling off of helicopters to lift dogs and babies out of house? No. He's the president. He would literally, his Air Force One coming with like two additional planes and a fucking motorcade, and then you got to plan logistics for the Secret Service. That is so much getting in the way.
Does anybody know if Sean Penn's there and how many lives he saved?
Probably zero, I would go.
He's got to bring a camera crew.
No, yeah, he's somewhere talking about how fucking, I'm sure he's somewhere talking about how Justin Trudeau is a hero. And how Venezuela is really doing good and not.
Can we really quickly take a little sidetrack on that because you brought it up?
What, on Sean Penn or the Venezuelan Bolivar? Or
Prime Minister Sexy in Canada.
He's a good-looking guy, man.
He is.
He's a good-looking guy.
Did you see him after Mr. Open Arms saying, well, irregular. He
sang a Creed song called it on the air? Was he like,
he does look like he would be in Creed, doesn't he?
All you Muslims.
He called it irregular immigration needs to slow down.
Oh, he means illegal immigration, right?
He called it irregular.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't understand. Like, are we going to... Like, when people start... Like, if a pedophile bangs your kid, are you going to be like, wow, that's highly irregular? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, at what point does this stop? Does this language policing stop? At what point does the fire department go, we got an irregular structural situation going on right now? It's a fire! Let's go put it out!
Yeah, and it's not, you know, they're trying to build... The problem with identity politics is,
besides everything about it,
is that you can't have a political regime without a military wing. And you can't hug everybody into submission. And again, what I've always said, and I've said this about Canada before, Trudeau, forever. Yes, Canada, it's easy for you to do anything you want, because of us.
Yeah, it's really, if you were not...
If you were next to Saudi Arabia...
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Well, Justin Trudeau is doing everything he can in his power to make sure that they are Saudi Arabia in the next couple of years. So good for him.
And Haiti. The Haitian immigrant crisis, there's humongous, I was reading.
He's a glorified... He is the guy that directed high school plays and was... like everybody knew he was fucking one of the students.
He was the teacher who walked in and said, "Hey guys, you see your textbook?
Throw him out
the window." Throw him out the window.
Because Justin Trudeau doesn't mess around with no boring, stiff lesson plans.
You know what? In real life, you're not going to have to take tests. So no test in this class.
Yeah. He was that science teacher that just let you watch Bill Nye all day when you were a kid, and then you failed all your midterms. Fucking Trudeau. I hate him so much. He's the most hateable human being.
He really is.
And he's just so smug, and it's just, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, sorry.
But did you see how many dips he could do?
Well, yeah, that's his Castro blood.
Yeah, that is. That's
his super...
Allegedly.
That's his super... What do you mean, allegedly? Fuck him. Take a DNA test, faggot.
Well...
He can't sue me for saying he's Castro's kid. Take a fucking test.
Okay, fine. Then I'm on board. Take a DNA test if you don't think you're Castro's kid.
Because you are
Castro's
kid.
As a Cuban, I demand it.
I'm sorry, but if I looked like Justin Trudeau and somebody showed me a picture of my mom holding me next to fucking... I'm sorry, if I look like Fidel Castro and somebody had a picture of my mom holding me next to Fidel Castro, I'd have fucking questions about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, Mom, did you...
Mom, just real quick, no judgment.
Did you fuck Fidel Castro? Because, I mean, that's a... You know, hey, I'm not going to knock it,
but
that's a pretty big get. But he did, you know, kill a lot of people and destroy the Vegas of the Caribbean.
It was so... You know how much nicer it would have been if we
let Meyer Lansky do his thing?
Yeah, just leave it alone.
It was fine.
You know, it's funny about the Cuba thing. Just a little quick side note. Everybody is saying my mom, who was born in Cuba... There, everyone's like, are you going to go back to Cuba now that it's open, this and that? And, you know, I didn't realize this until I spoke to my mother today. But, you know, if you left Cuba and fled to America before 1970, you're considered an anti-revolutionist and you're not welcome to go back, even now, without, like, some sort of special grant from the government.
Why not? Because you've been poisoned by capitalism.
Yes, capitalism.
You've been poisoned by going to a Publix and just seeing rows and rows of turkey options. Literally, like... 47 different kinds of turkey you can put on your sandwich, and you're like, I don't want to go back there. There's oven roasted, and there's the honey smoked, and then there's stuff like in these nice little plastic containers. Oh, man.
Yeah, it is pretty sweet versus, you know, rationing rice.
Yeah, dude, are you kidding me? Like, you just look at what's going on in Venezuela right now, and it's like, nah, I'd rather have Neapolitan ice cream bars. Go fuck yourself. And anybody in the other, any one of you Antifa, like, liberal commies, it's like, fuck you. I will cut your throat for a Neapolitan ice cream bar any day of the week. Any day. Not even for the fucking actual bar, just for the choice of having one.
Just for the
I might cut your throat and then save the ice cream bar for later. You know what? I don't even want it right now. I got commie blood all over me. All right? I got to take a nice Pinochet shower, and then I'm going to enjoy my ice cream bar. You will not ever take capitalism away from me. And I don't care. There's a bunch of fucking anti-Semites and a bunch of anti-capitalists out there. Dude, you want to be a puppet for the Jews? Yes. Yes, I want to be a puppet for the Jews.
Good.
Because I get Neapolitan ice cream bars and Xbox Live, and you know what I mean? The new season of Hitman's going to be coming out.
It's pretty nice.
It's a lot going on. So, yeah, sorry. Go fuck yourself. I want to at least see the Avengers Guardians movie.
Well, you know, speaking of Antifa, they were over at Berkeley, was it this weekend?
No, get out of here.
And it got bad.
Yeah, I know. Berkeley is like...
bad.
Berkeley is like Antifa's home base. Like,
yeah.
I guarantee you that's where most of that toxic, poisonous thinking comes from, is just Berkeley. It's that just taking that liberal dog shit academia shit and just fucking literally encapsulating it and crystallizing it to a point where it's just a parody of itself. It's gross. It's not even like, oh, you know, share the wealth and redistribute. We're talking straight up fucking kill whitey shit going on in Berkeley.
Yeah, no.
It's ridiculous.
hitting people with locks, knocking them out, taking and then taking their phones and their cameras. So that, I mean, it's fucking bad. Like, again, this is why when everybody was like, oh, the Nazis don't. Yeah, they are just as bad. They're all fucking idiots. They're all fucking assholes. They're all children.
Yeah, but you know what? I could fuck a girl at a white power rally and she's not going to accuse me of rape the next day.
That's true.
So, you know, hey, there's one thing there.
Maybe.
Well, maybe. I'm sure they'll see a couple clips of me, picture of me and an ex-girlfriend that's black. They'll be like, ew, gross. He raped me.
Whatever's going on at Berkeley, man, and here's the other thing. Berkeley's a public university, correct?
It's federally funded and everything.
So we're federally funding
the revolution.
The revolution.
Yeah. But this is what Marxist socialists do. They invade academia.
You mean, wait a second. It's not just about cool hats?
It's, well, that's part of it. Okay. No, you're thinking of the Catholic Church.
Okay. Oh, I get confused all the time.
Awesome hats, pedophilia.
All the time.
No. Antifa is face masks and pedophilia and other cool stuff like, you know, hating white people, hating money, hating everything that this country stands for, everything that created these people. That's what I don't understand. Like, do you not have enough love of oneself to say, like, This country made me, you know what I mean? Like, I am what I am because of where I grew up. No.
And that's my thing. Like, you should understand, like, my mom was born in Cuba. My grandparents all came here from Cuba. And I've never understood that this country's terrible. I've never got that mentality, that this country's terrible mentality. Because it's like you said, like, I am sitting here right now. Every piece of technology that I'm using might have been made in China, but it was invented here, you know? We're on YouTube right now because of this country. My phone is beeping behind me right now because of the fucking capitalism.
Yeah, if you want to see how awesome capitalism is, log into any PlayStation 4 or Xbox game lobby and look at all the lights in America.
That's the point. It's like you're standing in you're posting on your Mac computer, sitting and drinking your Starbucks about how bad capitalism is, and you don't realize you are fucking capitalism. That's what you are. You know what? Can we do something? Can somebody give us a list of Marxist, communist technological inventions versus capitalist technological inventions?
They invented famine.
Okay. Well, all right. I didn't think about famine.
They invented really crummy tanks that just fall apart.
Okay.
They did give us the AK-47. If we're being fair,
they did.
The Soviets gave us probably the single most, it's not the greatest assault rifle ever, but it's certainly the greatest as far as it just being reliable.
Well, here's my question. What's your favorite Russian smartphone? What's your favorite Soviet smartphone?
Nokia is close enough, right? That's Finland. It's practically Russia. Snow, a bunch of white people.
What's your favorite sports car that Russia made?
The
Yugo?
Drogshnas. Yes. 2017.
Which is basically two bears on unicycles, which is what we assume everything in Russia is.
A bunch of huskies pulling a sled.
Exactly.
No, it is 270 husky power. We use husky power here in Russia.
But it's like, you know, so stop shitting on capitalism, please. There was even people blaming the net. People, a verified Twitter user blaming people dying in Houston because of capitalism.
Well, of course they were, because they're a verified Twitter user.
Oh, so are you saying that there's some sort of slant?
Yeah, there might be. I'm starting to connect some dots.
Really?
I don't want to call out Twitter until I have all the information in front of me.
Okay.
But yeah, it does seem that as if folks that have a liberal slant on things.
Right.
More easily obtain the blue check mark of infinite.
But Jordan Peterson has one though, because like he's
No, he does not.
But he works at a university.
Yeah, no, but he doesn't have. He's not verified on Twitter.
But why?
Because I guess we just don't know if that's really him.
No, he's clearly said this is him.
Jury's still out on that because he doesn't have a blue check mark.
Oh, okay.
So,
but hold on. But I just want to point out. But at God is verified.
Well, is he really? No. No, he's fucking not. That parody account is verified? No, it's not. I don't see it. No, it's not.
Okay, good.
Thank God. I was fucking angry for a second. But remember, there was a 7-year-old girl in the middle of a war zone In Syria, remember that girl? Abu Abu Daba Daba.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking some little 8-year-old girl that's like, my country is very bad because of Assad. Assad very bad. And it's like all these dumb tweets in perfect English, perfectly structured sentences. Assad, he gassing my people. And like blue check mark in fucking 2 days. You're going to tell me that Twitter and the fucking CIA, the intelligence community, don't have a little bit of a thing going on? Like, come on, man.
It's
a 7-year-old girl popped up from daisy cutter rubble with blood on her face, and her first order of business was to get verified on Twitter. Go fuck yourselves. At least
get a YouTube account first.
But at least, guys, it's all you fucking really arrogant, scumbag tech fucking Silicon Valley CEOs, you guys really underestimate people because we're fucking smarter than this. We see through all this bullshit. Like, there are a lot of reasonable people. Like, when you take Ron Paul's Liberty Report off of YouTube and demonetize it, we see through that shit, dude. You really think, what do we think, Ron Paul's out there fleshing his dick on camera?
A presidential candidate,
telling
by the
rape
way.
Jokes? Like, no. You took his shit down because it doesn't fit with your goddamn Marxist narrative.
And they demonetized Jordan Peterson in the middle of a religious thing on YouTube and kicked him off of YouTube and brought him back on, and they still haven't said why.
And I get the Jordan Peterson outrage, you know, because a lot of people have brought him up to me. And I'm mildly a Jordan Peterson fan.
It's not even because I'm a fan of his.
But
it's
we're
just
talking
the
about Ron fucking Paul.
I know.
Got demonetized. That's economic warfare. They're trying to take your shekels away so you can't produce your product. Any little bit of money they can just pull away from you. And trust me, they just lost $1 billion on an election. They're going to make it up one way or another.
Oh, wow. You're right. Jesus. I didn't know. One day ago, YouTube goes after Ron Paul, demonetizes video criticizing Afghanistan policies. This is from Breitbart.
All he said was, we don't need to send more troops in to kill more people in Afghanistan.
YouTube has reportedly demonetized a number of videos from former presidential candidate Ron Paul following an announcement that the company would be censoring the platform to an even greater degree. In a screenshot posted on Twitter by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, several recent videos from Paul were shown to have been reportedly deemed not suitable for advertisers and were subsequently restricted. Assange also claimed that the videos have been demonetized for criticizing U.S. foreign policy. The videos included Julian Assange to join us at Ron Paul Institute Conference 2017, Senate declared war on WikiLeaks, Pentagon attacks extremists at home, Trump's new Afghan strat... What? This is ridiculous. Google began their mission to police YouTube like it's never has before. Google will police YouTube like it never has before, adding warnings and disabling advertisers on YouTube's that the company determines cross the line, a threshold of offensive. Now, mind you, something else that somebody else pointed up, there's Play-Doh in kids' cartoons with videos that drop the N-bomb and say bitch and hoe. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
NWA is monetized.
Oh, and what was that? What's the Queer Kids channel? That's fine.
A popular technique by YouTube is age-restrict videos.
You can fucking groom children for sexual purposes on YouTube. Whatevs. No prob. But hey, if you try to educate people.
I guess we're going to find out if they monetize our video. We're going to find out.
Oh, we're going to listen. If I will be fucking outraged if we are not like episode 50 in and we're not on the Southern Poverty Law Center's fucking website. I will be let down. You hear me, Southern Poverty Law Center? Fucking bring it, yo. Fucking bring it.
Speaking
Royce
of...
Royce is just like, please don't bring it.
Oh, I'm Cuban. I don't care. They can say whatever the fuck they want about
me. Bro, they've got... Dude, they've literally got Jewish people on that website. It's gotten ridiculous. Like, they've got people, like, from... Oh, it's enraging. Like, it's going to be within the next 6 months, fucking Johnny Lee Riches is going to be on the Southern Poverty Law Center website for walking around wearing his dumb hats.
Which I think now's a good time to bring up when YouTube does demonetize us. Eventually, we are starting a Patreon.
Yes, we do have a Patreon. It's already started, really, if you want to check it out. Across the board on social media, it's basically We're Not Sorry. So if you want to look up everything except Twitter.
Right.
Is at We're Not Sorry. So you can find us on Patreon, We're Not Sorry. Gab, We're Not Sorry. Blah, blah, We're Not Sorry. Twitter, it's ROTC Media.
Now, here's the reason we're starting the Patreon. It's not just for us to sit here and talk all day. We're going to actually get things done. For example,
I'm so excited.
Coming up on September 16th,
I'm so excited.
Is the DC March.
I'm so excited.
Which is
the DC March.
I'm which so is Juggalos.
Juggalos.
And the alt-right.
Well, and the we don't
and
know,
regular right.
Yeah, we don't know yet. It's the mother of all patriot rallies, so it's like I think it's gonna be a lot of the fat MAGA people.
Yeah,
like a lot of the Oath Keepers and all those fucking, you know, like
right.
like my kind of people actually, because they're like civic nationalists, and it'll be like it'll be a mixture of races and religions there, but they'll all be like fat and barbecuing and drinking like Bush Light. Like it's gonna be cool.
So we're gonna get up there. We have a lot of stuff planned.
We here's the specifics, folks. Okay. I guess we can tell you guys this much. So what we're going to do is start a series. And if this one does well, there'll be more to come. But me and Royce want to take this act on the road and do some of our in real life trolling. So we are going to head to the Juggalo Patriot Rally here on the 16th for the first edition of Mersh and Royce Healing America.
That's correct.
And we are going to unite these two groups. Come hell or high water. We have a lot of special secret gifts that I don't want to get into. Gifts, not gifts. We actually have physical items that we're going to be presenting to the leaders of each group. We're going to go out there, get some footage. I'm certainly looking forward to finding out how magnets work.
Yes.
That's going to be really exciting. But yeah, we're going to meet with Juggalos. So we're going to go down there. It's going to be an all-day deal. We're filming
all of it.
We've got possibly Derek from our old, from Jesus, fucking veteran Derek. From like 5 years ago. Yeah.
Occupy rally.
He was our Occupy man on the street when we were back in Miami. He might be joining us. I've reached out. Jonathan Lee Riches, JLR, will be there. So we're going to meet up with him. For those of you that don't know Johnny Riches, just Google him. He's a fucking weirdo. Yeah. I love him. I love that dude to death. And then also I reached out to Bronx Johnny from High Society Radio. I'm trying to get him to join us, but he said that he's in Ecuador right now. I'm assuming banging who is.
Yeah, that's what I would be doing,
10
too.
10 at a time for a dime. Is Ecuador, like, kind of, it's near Venezuela. I'm sure they're fucking dinar or fucking
probably not doing great.
Bolivar or whatever the fuck they use. Probably not that strong.
So we want to get up there.
So we're going to get up there. We need your help. If you guys want to get in on this action, you can actually just go directly to paypal.me/MershComedy. And if you want to get us the money directly, because we're buying stuff as we speak, we need a lot of weird, random pieces of equipment and
but we're
gas
gonna be out there for the whole thing.
Stuff.
We're gonna be out there for the whole thing.
And the deal is, we are going to be keeping a lot of the footage for ourselves. As far as like the main camera stuff and the main audio boom stuff, that's all going to be cut up and edited into a very special documentary. But we are also going to be constantly live streaming on Facebook Live. It's going to be basically
make sure you follow Revenge of the Sis on Facebook, the Facebook page, because we're going to be Facebook Live in there. So just search for Revenge of the Sis.
Facebook / We're Not Sorry. And kick in whatever you can, guys, because it's going to be a 48-hour live political reality show. And it's going to be bizarre and a lot of old familiar faces.
And the emphasis obviously is on comedy.
Yeah.
We're
not going there. We're going to do a little trolling and some ball breaking, but we are genuinely trying to go to these events so we can find a little bit of humanity in everybody. And it's very easy to find. Like I find, and Royce is very similar. Like, we hate groups of people. Like, once you get 100 people together and they're chanting the same thing, it's never fucking good luck.
No.
It's always going to be bad. But
outside of maybe a sports game.
Yeah. Even then.
Right. Go to Philly. Go to an Eagles game. The punch in the face.
And, oh, my God. And
You know what? I'm with you. Yeah. More than 100 people.
Anybody more than 50, 100 people chanting things is awful. But I do find that when you get, like, and me and Royce have interviewed a lot of people over the years that have been controversial. When you get people away from the pack and you just sit them down and you talk to them, people are usually way more human and normal, and they have better, the people change immediately when they're not around a bunch of people chanting, white genocide, like, you know what I mean, and fucking magnets, how do they work, or I don't even know what the fucking jugglers are going to be chanting. I'm assuming they're just all going there to find out how electromagnetism works.
Easy fat chicks, whatever, whatever they do there.
I will bang a juggaho if we can. Or juggalette.
I'll tell you this. This is a promise. If we reach our goal, Mersh and I will actively try to spit roast an animal dead, like at the Juggalo.
Yeah, like not like, even.
But no, we're not even not even for our pleasure. Don't think this is like a. We're gonna, oh, they're gonna have. No.
We're gonna do it, and we're gonna actually just for you guys. Yeah. If we reach our goal, which is only $600,
Patreon subscribers are gonna get exclusive photos.
We reach our goal. We're gonna actually start low and work our way up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're gonna start
we're
with
the bottom.
Yes, absolutely. Bottom. We will spit roast a Juggalette. Yeah.
You know what that means? Any girl in a PT Cruiser, we're starting there. We're starting there. All right? To show you how committed I am.
We're a Ford Focus.
Whatever. We'll start there. God. All right?
With a hatchet sticker on the back.
That's correct.
It's so gross.
It's disgusting.
Oh, I can smell it now.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
They're fucking devastated that Sausage Castle closed up here.
By the way, this just in breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Mersh's dick has quit the show.
It's gone.
Mersh's dick
it is. Actually, join Antifa.
After a solid 10-year run in the radio and comedy business, plowing girls from
done.
Coast to coast, we are sad to announce today the retirement of Mersh's dick. And we wish him well in his future endeavors. And
Some of the fun things that we're planning, just to give you guys, is, and this is just a little overview, you know, free face painting. We're going to be offering
Free face painting.
That's going to build your own wall.
But with cum. Is that...
Don't give away the fucking... You're a terrible magician.
Okay,
David Copperfield will be disappointed.
David Copperfield should be disappointed.
Rape Island, allegedly. Allegedly, Rape Island, David. Allegedly, David.
No,
we don't know.
Not allegedly. It's a rape island.
So,
Fuck you, David Copperfield.
It's not rape if there's no law.
Hey, David Copperfield, fuck you and your George, your fucking George dummy in your museum.
But yeah, we want to get there. We're going to talk to both sides. It's going to be fun. We're not going to fight anybody.
No, we're not going to fight anybody. No. And if somebody wants to fight us, we're rolling deep.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Bronx Johnny, Derek, JLR.
We'll be fine.
And we're reaching out to a few people. And if you guys want to join us for this, we do need a couple people.
Yes.
We do need some hands on deck.
So shoot us a message at We're Not Sorry on Facebook and or Twitter.
Mersh and Royce, Healing America. We are going to unite the gap between the Juggalos and the alt-right. And I think we could do it with our special secret gift that I can't talk about.
No,
everybody's
going to
be very, very happy.
But I really do believe.
Let me put it this way. If I discuss our gift on the air, we will be demonetized. But it's an awesome gift.
Well, I'm at the JuggaloMarch.com, Saturday, September 16th, National Mall, at the Lincoln Memorial, Washington, D.C., noon. This is the day that we're asking every single Juggalo to join us in our nation's capital. How can we not be there?
And how can they afford to get there? There'll be a lot of hitchhikers on the 15th.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. There's going to be a lot of people... Uber's going to be fucked up that day.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's probably going to be like, there probably only be like two Uber drivers working. Like, I'm not doing it.
I won't. No.
I'm not. Fucking crazy demon clowns and neo-Nazis in my cab all day. I'm just going to stay home.
Again, and like you said, Mersh, it's going to be a warm day. So, you know what? We're going to put up with the smell, so you don't have to.
It's going to be a warm day. We're going to wear a light jacket.
Yeah, it's going to
be
great.
Very nice. A lot of grease paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, these kids are just, oh, God, they're going to smell like fucking... They're just gonna smell like piss and bales of hay.
It's bad, man.
Fucking
I mean, look,
bunch of fucking face.
I want to take bets. We've been to comic conventions. Do you think it's gonna smell worse?
Yeah, definitely.
Even because, though it's outdoors, you think?
Yeah, because they get dolled up for comic.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
It's gonna smell. So yeah, we don't. Again, like you said, we don't know the Patriot. Like you said, we don't know exactly who's. We know exactly who's showing up from the Juggalos, but we have no idea.
I mean, with the right, it's always a weird
mix.
Like, the right wing always looks like the Confederate States of America.
Right.
Like, it's always a loose confederation of people that don't even like each other, but they still agree that the Constitution's important. Like, that's pretty much what it is. There's, like, the right is so much less splintered than the left only because we don't ever agree to like each other.
That's
true.
Good point.
There's no tolerance on the right. It's like... You want to be a gay Republican, it's like, cool, but there'll be a guy that doesn't like gay people. And they'll go, I think you're fucking gross. But hey, vote Trump next election. Make sure we get these Democrats out of the
house. That's a very good point.
And the left is just like, why do you have dreadlocks, you white oppressor? It's Jill Stein, not Bernie Sanders. Rabble, rabble, rabble. They can never get it together. Like, even on the right, like, at the last minute, everybody's like, we're not really voting for Gary Johnson. Get the fuck out of here. Trump.
That's a really good point.
We're way on the... Dude, we couldn't be less on the same page than the left.
Yeah.
But because we agreed on a social contract that works, which is not, we need to tolerate everybody in this group. We agreed on certain things. Leave my fucking guns alone.
Yep.
Leave my freedom of speech alone. Don't fucking touch my property or I'll blow your face off. And everybody on the right's kind of like, hey, it's kind of like a very uneasy alliance.
Right.
But they're like, hey, we don't like each other, but... You know, we all agree that we would rather shoot people in the face if they try to take our things.
Yeah.
Kind of what we agree on.
You know, that's a good point, because the one thing that we've talked about in the last two episodes, we talked about before, is how the left has been eating their own. Like, here's a perfect example. They have had, Trump has given them so many opportunities to actually get a leg up, but they go so far that they lose everybody. That's what happens. Perfect example. Trump did, according to them, Trump didn't reply, didn't say what he needed to say correctly about the white nationalist. I'm not saying whether you agree with that or not, but they could have stuck on that talking point and you would have been all right. But instead, tear all the statues down! Then you lose
and
people.
It's what's great about the left too is the left is sort of like a kid who tries to punish you by not eating his dinner.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, you're the fucking idiot who's going to go to sleep hungry, asshole. Like, I'm going to eat dinner and dessert, you fucking dumb shit.
Like, I don't care.
Like, you really think I'm going to sit around and go, well, he didn't eat dinner. Like, you're living in America and your kid's fat anyway, probably.
He's fine. He could take a couple dinners off.
Yeah, fuck him. Skip pizza tonight, asshole. Seriously. But I'm not going to sit around all night going, oh, well, what about... I think that the left genuinely thinks we sit around going, well, what about their feelings? We don't.
We don't.
We don't we care don't. About you.
No.
Your feelings are irrelevant. And anybody who's had a job where they work 40 hours a week understands that their feelings are irrelevant.
It doesn't
you gotta go to work and deal with scumbags all the time. That's life. I hate them.
That's a very good point. Like, it doesn't really fucking matter.
That's why I love the right, though, because the right, like, literally, you'll get people there, and they're like, one group is screaming about Jews and fucking Antifa and commies, throwing commies from helicopters, but then other people are like Jordan Peterson libertarians, and then there's like Stefan Molyneux people, and they get like, again, none of us like each other, but we respect each other because we decided that we're going to go with respect over like tolerance. Because tolerance is, it's like me and Jeff were talking about this the other day. There's acceptance and there's tolerance. And acceptance is what the right thrives on. Tolerance is what the left forces you to do. So
yes.
It's like, you have to, it's not enough to accept something, you have to tolerate it. And the thing is, some things are just intolerable. There's intolerable behavior all around us. And all of our ideas of intolerable behavior are different because we're fucking individuals. So I might see something and go, that doesn't sit right with me. But if it's legal, I don't have a say in that. You know, so that's why when you go to these like rallies on the right, there's really not a lot of, there was really only one big fight this year, and that was the Oath Keepers and the neo-Nazis.
Well,
and that's because the neo-Nazis are fucking dumb sometimes.
Well, you know, the other thing, the other thing that, and we talk about this is, we talked about it before the show, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it was the conservatives that were telling people what to say, that the Mother's TV Council and all this bullshit and the Christians for this and that. And the shift happened so quickly.
Yeah, I remember them because then they came out and they had Ivory and Stevie Richards was super kid. He had the white socks on with the dress shoes. And I think they had Bull Buchanan for a while.
You're thinking of wrestling again?
You know, they censored people.
Yeah, no, again, it's wrestling.
Jerry Lawler's wife tried to show her tits. I remember that. Which, they came out and they covered her in a towel.
Well, first off, back then they were called puppies.
Major heel heat. Oh, puppies. You were talking about the real Parents Television Council. Sorry.
Correct. No, but my point is now it's the left that's shutting everybody up. Hey, don't say this. Hey, don't say that. Hey, you know, you're not allowed. Oh, you're racist. You're a Nazi. You don't agree with me. And the problem is the reason we say children, at least I say children, is not because of anything other than the way that they're acting. They're acting like children because if you've ever been around kids, even if you give them everything that they want, they're always going to want more.
They're just miserable cunts.
Exactly.
They just really are.
And in the moment where, when the left now, some portions of it, I know everyone has agreed, but the left now is telling me that kids whose fucking brain isn't developed yet can decide whether they should take hormones or not. You fucking lost me. You can't be the party of science on one end and then say, well, no, you know, the brain is just, you know, it's a construct. No, it's not.
You know what? Go after me all you want on the internet, but they stopped being about science when they started pushing this climate change shit years ago. Stop. Stop with this accepted science thing that they all do where they just all go, yeah, well, it is because we all agree. We're all telling you to pay your carbon tax, even though China's not, and we're going to fucking die
anyway. But have you seen the
John
Oliver memes?
Oh, that's probably why I'm not a liberal. Yeah. I need more John Oliver and Samantha Bee in my life.
No, and that's a good point. Like, you know, the whole Paris Agreement.
I would rather have actual bees in my life.
Bees?
I would rather be stung by an entire hive of bees.
You know, the other thing is, well, you're right. They're not, you know, again.
They call me Samantha Bee because my words sting like the truth.
Yeah. I wish you would die afterwards like a real bee.
Come check out the buzz tonight. Samantha Bee. Fucking worst piece of shit ever.
And, you know, I mean, there's so much. We've been off for some. We'll definitely talk about.
There's so much to come.
Yeah, but back to the main thing. We want to get up to D.C. We want to talk to people. We want to heal the country.
Juggalos, Nazis, Mersh, Royce, special guests like JLR and Derek, Bronx Johnny from HSR. It's going to be a shit show.
It's going to be crazy.
If you want, it's the most direct way is just paypal.me/MershComedy, and we'll get it directly, and we can start buying some of these dumb things we need. I guess we should go to break because we got to get our guys ready for a big debate.
Joe in the YouTube chat says, actually, those parental advisor people were leftists, e.g. Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife.
He's got a point.
That's a very good point, yeah.
He's got a point. However, they did appeal to that religious thing, too.
They
That's how they
did,
made
they
it
did,
bipartisan,
yeah.
That's by how, kind yeah. of being like, well, but gee, but my Jesus. But yeah, they,
That's
you're
a good
right,
point,
it was
though.
Tipper Gore smashing all those fucking NWA CDs.
And again, it doesn't change anything either. Like you said, you know, Tipper Gore, Al Gore, perfect example. We have to, you know, by the way, Mike, we have to at some point bunker down and watch Inconvenient Truth 2. We have to.
Yeah, we
to.
Do, because we need to be educated
on
the dangers.
We don't know what's really happening.
Well, spoiler alert, Antarctica was supposed to be gone 2 years ago.
It's still there, though.
Yeah, so.
But it's there.
I know. Literally, the wall in Game of Thrones lasted longer than stupid fucking Al Gore's Antarctica theory.
And he came out with Inconvenient Truth 2. Now he's getting shit because apparently his house uses 14 times more power than the average home.
Well, you know, it takes a lot to...
It takes a village?
Yeah, it takes a village to...
To power my helicopter?
Power his espresso machine and his tanning bed for his dumb fucking bag of shit wife.
Well, honey, I just can't stand on a cold floor, so the floor has to be heated.
I have to have a medical top bed. I like when it adjusts.
Al Gore is the first man to go through gender reassignment while still looking the same. He talks like an old queen now. And he didn't always. No, I'm being serious. You remember back in the 90s, he didn't talk that way.
He was always a little bit, you know. But not as bad. Definitely not as bad. Yeah, he is. I feel like he's Bruce Jennering it. Like, he's just kind of feeling everybody out. Like, I'm just going to keep getting more sassy. And hopefully nobody will notice when I just finally just pop my dick out. Put it in my buddy's hand.
Alberta Gore? That has to be the name, right? Alberta Gore?
Hey, I'm just saying, why don't we hang out? We'll talk climate change. We'll play with each other's cocks a little bit. We'll just put them in our mouths for like a second.
You know, if we suck each other's cock, it's eco-friendly. We're making body heat.
Honestly, Bill Clinton was the most normal person to come out of that fucking
zoo. Isn't that
zoo.
Weird?
Like,
isn't that
really
weird?
Rapey Bill Clinton was the guy that fucking is the normal one. Just Big Mac, young pussy-loving Bill. Good God bless him.
It was just leaving. That's a very good. Remember when our biggest problem?
Remember when we used to talk about what a degenerate Bill Clinton was? Holy shit.
Remember when one of our biggest problems was that Dan Quayle couldn't spell potato?
Well, that's.
That was funny.
It was unforgivable. But I mean, seriously, Bill Clinton has the lower body count out of the two Clintons.
Holy shit, you're right. I'm doing the math here. Yeah, like, I guess you're right.
He didn't make up climate change. He didn't storm Waco. Like, it's like everybody in that administration. Bill's just like, hey, let me play my saxophone, eat a Big Mac. Fucking, God damn it, man. Fucking Teflon Bill. God
you
got
to give
him.
It to him. And honestly, looking back, do you think if Bill Clinton had the same policies and ran today, he would be a conservative?
Yeah, well.
A moderate conservative, but a conservative. Because think about it. Defense of Marriage Act was him.
Well, yeah. And if honestly, if Richard Nixon ran today, he'd be a liberal. Like, it's fucking crazy how the world's changed. Mm. It really is bizarre.
You know what we should do, though? Tear down some more statues.
Well, I think once we tear down enough Robert E. Lee statues, we're going to heal racism.
Again, you know it's bad when the most logical stuff coming out of this was Charles Barkley the other day? Charles Barkley said, I'm 54 years old. And I've never thought of those statues a day in my life.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like nobody cares.
I'm sure you'd be happy if you were tearing down a statue like the owner of the Phoenix Suns or
yeah,
something.
Or Patrick Ewing or someone that he fought in the 90s.
That's true. Oh, man, tear down some Patrick Ewing statues. There's got to be some of them in New York.
There's a real problem.
Yeah, seriously, tear down that statue.
But you know, it's, again... But you forgot. See, Mike, here's the thing.
Fucking Dennis Rodman's over there sucking some guy's dick who's launching nukes. Why don't you tear down
Rodman is saving America.
One Asian dick in his mouth at a time.
To be fair, you could probably do 5 or 6 Asian dicks in your mouth at the same time.
It's probably launching the missiles because fucking Dennis Rodman went over there and probably infected half of that country with herpes. Allegedly.
More than half. He's a big man. It's a big man.
That's true.
You're forgetting about the spray. If he, you know, you don't think that when Dennis Rodman was over, they sent every North Korean hooker to his hotel room?
How many North Korean hookers are
there?
3. That's
and 2 of them are Kim in a dress.
Hello, Mr. Rodman.
It's like, yeah, man, he set this hooker up. I know it's him. The smile is a dead giveaway. Yeah.
That weird autistic smile.
He was still wearing the military uniform. He just had a wig on.
Kim Jong-un has that really, I hate being in front of a camera smile.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's so happy here. Everybody's so happy. Look, I make a hamburger. It's like every picture of him is doing something like, oh, look at me. I make a hamburger. I play an Xbox. I'm the one dot in the game lobby in North Korea. One dot it in Pyongyang. Nice. It's just
it
fucking.
Must be nice. Can you? That's, oh, I'm,
you don't have a rice, but I drive a Mercedes. Look at me smile.
You think when he plays Xbox Live, he still calls people gay, though? Because he still has to be on Xbox.
Oh, you faggot N-word. Oh, look at you homosexual playing video games. You are noob, noob tuber. Oh, I have missile. Fucking asshole, I hate him. And he's really bad when he gets a kill streak and he finally gets a missile.
Oh, God.
He always misses. Yeah. Oh, I always miss.
I always.
He'd always hit the water.
Every time he loses an Xbox game, his crew hides because he's going to kill. His entire cabinet hides because he's going to kill them with anti-aircraft rounds.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. That's right. I forgot.
He killed his uncle. He killed his uncle for falling asleep during one of his speeches.
Holy shit. You understand? That's like shooting a car engine into somebody.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, exactly.
That's like literally firing an entire gun into someone.
Do you know how many anti-aircraft rounds you need to kill a person? 1/3 of 1.
Not even.
Yeah.
It's literally, it breaks down like Bitcoin.
I know.
You need a 1.0001. We're going to go to break. Coming up next,
yes.
Special cryptocurrency debate on Bitcoin and Dogecoin and the like. Join us next hour.
2 minutes. Be right back.
Your last question. What was the cause of the Civil War?
Actually, there were numerous causes. Aside from the obvious schism between abolitionists and anti-abolitionists, economic factors, both domestic and international, played a significant...
Hey, yeah. Just say slavery.
Slavery it is, sir.
Yes, I am a citizen. Now, which way to the welfare office?
What?
I'm kidding. I work.
Back with the second hour of Revenge of the Sis with myself, comedian, man about town, opinionated, iconoclast, Mersh.
That's good. That's a lot of adjectives.
And with me is, I guess, Royce Lopez.
Too. Hey, how come you get all the cool adjectives?
Because I thought of them.
God damn it.
Yep. Anyway, we're back. And, Revenge of the Sith, second hour. And coming up here in just a few minutes, I'm trying to line up our guy right now, but we have a debate coming up with our old friend Stuart from Hooter and Greenway Show.
Yep.
Rest in peace. And our buddy Josh, who I'm trying to set this up right now. But yeah, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. Stuart is very much pro, and this guy Josh here is very much against. So
why don't we get Stuart on first so he can explain what Bitcoin is?
Yes, because I have no clue.
Because I think that's going to be the best way.
I think it's somehow tied into Minecraft.
All right. Well, now we have to wait for him to actually answer. So hold on.
Yeah.
He'll call.
We sound like every fat single woman in the city.
He'll call.
Hooked
he'll
up
call.
With a guy the night before. He'll no, call, he's going to call. Gonna call. He's going to call. Why isn't he calling? I think that was Josh trying to call. I don't know.
All right. We'll figure it out. Maybe
so. Anyway, basic breakdown. Bitcoin, of course, as you see, is now worth like over $4,000 of the U.S. dollar. Or, I'm sorry, $4,000 to one Bitcoin. And our friend Stuart, who is a master of all things financial, he's actually a pretty smart guy when it comes to that stuff. He's made some money off Bitcoin. What is happening?
I'm calling him. I'm getting no. Don't worry, it's only coming through there. You're fine.
Okay. But yeah. So
hey, Stuart, can you hear us? Stuart,
you are here. You are live.
Can you hear me, buddy?
Uh-oh.
Stuart,
uh-oh.
Talk.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
I'll figure it out.
I hope Dickhead's mic is off. I really hope that's what it is.
We'll figure it out.
I hope fucking Paranoid.
He did say before the show, he was like, oh, I haven't used it in a while.
Yeah, I hope Mr. Paranoid has his mic disabled and his fucking tape over his camera like Jeff Ray, that paranoid weirdo.
You say that, but I've heard a lot of people say that that's a good idea.
But it's like, what, because they saw fucking one episode of House of Cards, they're all fucking paranoid. I can assure you, most people I've ever met that are worried about putting tape over their laptop are all people that don't matter.
Okay, I'm calling him now.
They don't matter.
Right. Well, we'll get him on right now. I'm sorry about that, guys. It's Skype, and you know how that goes. Hey, Stuart, can you hear me?
Nope, still nothing.
Stuart!
Oh, you suck. Oh, you're terrible. You're the worst human being. You're literally the worst person ever.
Now it's him.
You are literally Skype Hitler.
Now I can tell you that I just double-checked, and it's him.
It's totally you, bro. Good job. Thanks for ruining the show. Thanks for ruining everything.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm kidding. He's actually one of my best friends. I love Matt. He's good people.
Well, I mean, you can speak for yourself, I guess.
We played golf and smoked Macanudos together. It was literally the whitest day of my life.
All right, I'm going to get him on. I'm going to try one more time.
He can hear us, but we can't hear him.
We can't hear him. That's the problem. Hey, Stuart. I hear something. You there? Is your microphone on, buddy?
I love that we're just being condescending now.
Hey, buddy. Huh? Is your microphone on? This is going to be great because I'm just going to get Josh Zeon, who just hates Bitcoin, and he's not going to be able to defend himself. So why don't we do that?
Yeah, cool. Guess what, man? It's going to be a one-sided debate now. That's it, Stuart. You're out of this, bitch.
Let's see. If this doesn't work, then it's a...
You are dead to us!
Well, now he would have to pick... Hey, Josh, can you hear us?
I can hear you, yeah.
Awesome. So we do know that Stuart doesn't know what he's doing. All right. Well, since we're waiting for Stuart to come on, now you're going to have the advantage here. And welcome to the show, by the way. My name is Royce. I know you know Mersh. Can you explain to us, before getting into your side of it, what Bitcoin is?
Wait, who am I talking to right now?
This is Royce.
Oriented. Okay.
This is Royce. And
I am your buddy, Mersh, the one that I talk to you all the time on Facebook.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, so Mersh is like your nickname or something?
Yeah, it's my stage name. It's what I
got it. Nom de plume.
Yes, I like that. Ooh, he makes it so French sounding. I like it.
Okay, so you want to just a summary? You want to segue into the thing?
Yeah,
you
let's assume that our listeners are idiots, because most of them are. No offense, folks.
Bitcoin is a modern day Ponzi scheme with a couple of added other features that make it even worse than a traditional Ponzi scheme.
Okay, so before we get into that position, I want to summarize for people. What is the perception of what Bitcoin
is?
Yeah,
how about
now?
That?
Like, how is it being, like, right now it's being marketed as a cryptocurrency, which is pretty much all I know about it. And all I know is that it's not government regulated. It's not fiat currency.
It is government regulated. I mean, especially if you're in New York, there was quite a bit of legislation and even specialized to Bitcoin. So it's not exactly completely below the radar of the law.
Okay.
We can go into that stuff. I mean, I know a lot about this stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm really curious because, you know, first off, I saw the big, you know, the value of it, how much it's gone up from when it first came out, when it was dollar for dollar. Now it's like $4,000?
And I don't think that Josh and I were Facebook friends back about 6 months ago where I was, what was it, bashing Bitcoin? But I was simply pointing out that if history is any indicator of how finances work and how any currency works, that everybody should stop being so excited about it. Just keep going. It's not going to keep going up like any other thing in the world.
Well, do you guys want to go into this during the show to kind of keep it fresh?
Or, yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, all that stuff is really, really interesting. We're live right now.
Yeah, we are already. Oh, okay. We are right. On the air.
Yeah, so this is a live.
Yes. Report. Correct. Hey, Matt. Oh, okay. Hold on. Hey, Stuart, you there?
Oh, you're the fucking worst. You're done.
All right, whatever. Don't worry about it.
You are dead to us. You are dead to us, motherfucker.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, we're just anti-Bitcoin now because fucking Stuart can't
get his shit
together.
They had their chance, but now I'm all like, fuck Bitcoin.
Oh, it's Hooter and Greenway all over again.
Okay, so your question is, what is the perception of it?
Correct.
I mean, one thing that you got to understand about Bitcoin is that it does not abide by all of the same laws as a traditional financial asset does. And, I mean, under normal circumstances, it would be classified as a security. However, for a variety of reasons, it didn't get classified as that. So last time I checked, the SEC doesn't have any specialized regulations about Bitcoin, but there is another agency called FinCEN that does have rules about how Bitcoin works.
Okay.
But in a traditional security scenario, there are laws about what you have to declare in terms of ownership. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what's throwing a lot of people off. They don't understand that just because it has a trading value at $4,000, that it means that its market cap is simply the number of Bitcoins multiplied by that number.
OK, I have a question here.
In traditional. Yeah.
Layman's question. I understand what you're saying, but just me not understanding anything about it. What is Bitcoin backed by? What gives it its value? How did it become
absolutely nothing? Okay. That's the biggest criticism. Like, any traditional economist, anyone with any credibility whatsoever, will all say the same thing, save maybe like one or two people. John Matanis is probably the most credible person who argues in favor of Bitcoin. He writes for Forbes and a couple of other magazines. But the okay, what exactly was your question again? Could you just repeat it?
What gives it its value?
Okay, there's absolutely no backing whatsoever.
So it's completely completely speculative, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, it's 100% a Ponzi scheme, and there's really no reason to believe that it's anything other than a Ponzi scheme. And part of the problem with Bitcoin is really what it is this. And in a lot of ways, you know, it deserves respect in the sense that it's such a sophisticated scam. What they did was they combined Ponzi schemes with multi-level marketing schemes and social media manipulation. Mm-hmm. They took those three elements and sort of made something new, and that's what Bitcoin is.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes. Hey, Stuart, what's up? Okay.
Excellent.
I turned down your microphone just a little bit, or back away.
That better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, so what now? Did you hear what Josh Z was saying about Bitcoin?
I did. I heard him say it was a Ponzi scheme. Now, first, a Ponzi scheme is where you have a series of investors who invest into a product, and then you get a second level of investors to pay those investors back, and the company goes out of business, correct?
Well, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what is the legal definition in that regard, but Bitcoin does have those characteristics.
How?
Well, I mean, what a lot of people don't understand about Bitcoin is that the way that it's run, okay, it's one of the most sophisticated schemes I think we've had ever. And basically it works this way. What they do is they create these coins out of thin air, mm-hmm. and they take those coins, and they may have low value at the time, and they'll distribute those to various layers in their marketing scheme. They'll give them to people who run social media manipulation operations. They'll give them to these mining cartels. They'll give them to people who run user groups. For instance, there's the New York Bitcoin meetup. I know that those guys were somewhat involved in this. And, you know, they'll stimulate the interest in it this way. You know, you'll receive something like 10 Bitcoins for doing something like this. Everybody does their work. You know, they troll real hard on the internet, and then suddenly the thing will rise in value by a dollar.
No, that's not correct.
What is it?
Nobody actually gives Bitcoins away. You have to.
This is not. No. You don't understand how it works in the inside. I mean, there's a lot of people who sort of are observing Bitcoin from the outside. That, you know, they're buying into this ideology that's very much constituted by libertarianism. And they don't really understand how the internals of the thing work. So I'll let you speak now. I mean, I've just done a good 5 minutes, so go ahead.
All right. Well, to give yourself a little bit of a background on me, I have a bachelor's degree in computer science. I've been working as a programmer for the past 20 years, and I have actually created a cryptocurrency by forking Litecoin, which is originally a fork of Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is open source technology. You can see the source code directly on GitHub. There's a GitHub account that has the Bitcoin source code on there. And you can create your own cryptocurrency by forking that, changing a few variables, changing a few images. And as long as you have at least two computers synced up with wallets, then you can generate your own cryptocurrency. But as far as a they, there is no they. There's no they. There's, I don't know.
There absolutely is. There's a monopoly on the hashing hardware, and it's true.
Who
can create an altcoin. That's 100% true.
Who are they?
The people who own who monopolize the mining hardware.
All right. Can I say one thing? I just want to and we're just going to moderate here and there. You guys are fine as it is. But I have to say, in Josh's defense, there's always a they. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what is going on, if it's the NBA, if it's
even
cryptocurrency.
Even if it started without a they usually... fills the void.
A they will eventually take over and completely make it their own thing. So, I mean, there's going to be a they. There's not a they now.
I mean, I think that initially, you know, with the Satoshi white paper, I don't think the initial intention of the technology was to really have that level of dominance of a small insider party. But it just kind of turned out that way. A number of different people got involved in it, and it turned into something that really perhaps maybe the initial intention was not quite in line with, although I think there's a lot of good arguments that it was sort of tainted from the start. I mean, we could go a little bit into the history. By the way, I have a computer degree in computer science too, and I've done publications on cryptocurrencies as well. So, I mean, you're not talking to like an amateur.
And I will go on record right now as saying, being the only guy that knows both of you off the air, you are both highly intelligent. Like, I respect both of these guys right now. So, like, very much so. Like, you're both much smarter than I am, especially in regards to things like this. I have a question I want to pose to both of you. This time we'll start with Stuart, and then we'll go over to Josh. It's now trading at, what was it? Last I saw it was $4,077 to one Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's probably roughly around there at this point. Is there a bubble coming?
I think there is. I think there's definitely a bubble. And I've never seen a jump like this of any magnitude before. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, Bitcoin was a dollar. You can buy, you know, as many as you wanted if you had a couple of bucks sitting around.
Oh, trust me. Or you could mine them.
I mean, back
now,
back
you don't think that this is all at all connected to this, to the split, the forking of the blockchain? I mean, you think that that's a coincidental thing?
I think it could very well be a bubble. I just don't think there's any kind of a they. I don't think anybody specifically controls it because it's a peer-to-peer technology.
But isn't there always
they do. And you look closely at the media publications that promote Bitcoin, they're all connected. And they're all owned by a relatively small pocket of people. It's not so much like there's some secret group somewhere smoking cigars around some dimly lit room or something like that. It's just the major stakeholders in Bitcoin. They've done calculations before and measurements that the vast majority of Bitcoin, over 90% of them, are actually in a small number of accounts and they never move. So Let me ask you a question, okay? This would probably be somewhat revealing. What do you think is the origin of Bitcoin? Who created it and why?
We don't know who created it.
You don't find that suspect at all? You don't find that this technology...
I got to say this. Now, I'm not picking sides, but the man's got a point.
It's an excellent point. No, it really is a good point. We don't know who created it, but that happens a lot with open source software. Somebody puts software out, and multiple numbers of developers work on it, and nobody can really claim ownership. Yeah, it happens with other stuff too.
Name one other project that has those characteristics where the author, okay. And meanwhile, keep in mind that this author supposedly owns something like a million Bitcoin. Literally, the guy could buy a third world nation with the amount of Bitcoin that he has. Well, and no one even knows who he is.
The first person who does it will always have a number of coins, because when you find your first block, those are the easiest algorithms to solve. And right. when you're doing your mining, you get pretty much the entire first wave, and it could be several thousand Bitcoins. Sure, I'm not gonna deny that at all. And that is an excellent point. Other software that has been created before in the past by unknown authors, I don't have any at the top of my head, but I'm sure
there really doesn't happen. If somebody spends the time to write software like that, they want to get credit for it, and especially with Bitcoin, the way that it worked was that this person that they call Satoshi, mm-hmm. okay, Satoshi Nakamoto,
oh, that's so funny.
Is this mysterious, shady character, maybe made a couple, about, I think, tops 100 postings. That's an estimate. Mm-hmm. And then he completely disappeared after creating this thing, Bitcoin. And then these other characters sort of took control. And most of it is centered around this one forum called BitcoinTalk.org. And I mean, that thing is a shady, shady place. You think 4chan is bad? That place is far, far worse.
No, I'm aware of Bitcoin
Talk. This was the forum that... Excuse me?
I'm aware of Bitcoin Talk.
Okay. I'm just trying to make it clear to the audience here of what really is the nature of these people. And I mean, there's been all sorts of things that have happened on that forum. People have the whole Ross Ulbricht incident happened there. Are you aware of the whole Ross Silk Road episode? I would imagine you are.
Yeah. Well, and that goes to my point that I made a few months ago. And to point out, like I said earlier, me and Josh weren't really friends then. But I had pointed out that so much of Bitcoin's proliferation has been built on illegal activity, or at least gray market activity. That my big thing was, I knew, knowing a lot of people as far as like marijuana people and growers and people in that industry, finding out how the banks won't hold the money for any of these dispensaries because they're still federally illegal. So they've been resorting to Bitcoin. And my only point that I made a few months ago is that I'm not talking about like the dark web where you can buy rocket launchers and hitmen and rant about the Jews. I'm talking about legitimate, like, gray market stuff where you can buy pot, with fucking very little effort in the mail now. And there's a lot of stuff you can do, and there's all this shady money going around. If and when the government decides, look, it's cool, fucking economy's doing bad enough as it is, start putting your shit back in our banks here in America.
Right.
I've even pointed out that would probably begin a speculative bubble as far as Bitcoin goes.
So you think
how much of it is illegal activity?
Let's say pot becomes decriminalized.
That was exactly how Bitcoin got bootstrapped, okay? And I can explain that as well. I mean, it started out as a nothing currency. It was just like this little toy.
And then it got tied into the Silk Road.
Exactly. Silk Road came in, and what they did was they made this thing an exchange currency. It was basically, they put a value on it, and it was used for those illicit transactions. I mean, the way that Silk Road worked was that, you had like drop points. Nobody even physically ever met up. So they would like hide drugs somewhere, and then you would supply them with Bitcoin. Then you would reveal the location of the drugs. You would go and pick them up. As a matter of fact,
That's
pretty smart.
Yeah, that's how it worked. The guy was really, I'm not in any way applauding Ross Ulbricht, but he was no slouch.
He knew what he was doing. I'll applaud him.
No, I won't condone or condemn him, but that honestly was the most libertarian thing I've ever existed.
His law breaking, I am applauding his entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and it's the libertarian idea that, like, look, I'm an adult, here's some money, give me a goddamn rocket launcher, leave me alone.
I'll tell you a couple of things about Ross. If you've ever read his postings on Bitcoin Talk, he's an interesting character. I mean, what he did, he really just started off as an ideologue. He was, I don't see him as being having a criminal mind at first. Mm-hmm. But what he did was he started taking these ideas and extrapolating on them and building on this libertarian mindset. And what he did was he sort of demonstrated how really how criminal these ideas really can be. I mean, the guy went from just this kind of Texas Austin hipster kid to like this international drug lord, literally within about 2 years.
His biggest mistake was staying in America. He should have fucking.
What's that?
His biggest mistake was staying in America. He should have fucking ran Silk Road from somewhere else. You know, made some buddies.
Yeah.
It was the DEA. They stung him, and you know how they actually caught him? He was he tried to take a hit out on somebody.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Like, one of his suppliers, basically, who was really working for the feds, they threatened him. They said, I'm going to rat out all these people. And then Ross decides the solution to this is to kill the guy.
Wow. I didn't know that. Like, I honestly thought he got some trumped up charges based on something that happened via his site. But he actually legitimately. Okay. Wow. I didn't know that about.
Yeah. Scumbag. No doubt about it. And because all of the people that run Bitcoin are really like a drug criminal cartel. And. You know, they were trying to defend Ross, like, oh, save Ross. You know, I mean, it was a recorded fact that Ross tried to order a hit using Bitcoin.
Wow. Yeah. See, once you get to that's it, man. It's when your dream just consumes you and you end up like, I'm willing to kill a guy over this shit.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
No, I'm just saying when you build something and it becomes your dream and you get to that level where now I'm not a human being anymore. I'm willing to take a life to protect my dream, and that's pretty dark, man. Did you know about this?
It was probably less of his pride, and probably he was just deep into it. Like, you know, you can't step out of a criminal enterprise like that. They'll kill you. You know, so, you know, I think that Ross really didn't have many choices. You know, there probably whatever people he was working with are probably threatening to kill him. And then, I mean, that's how it works. You know, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I mean, once you're in it, you're in it.
I think you're right about that. I mean, when you're going to develop some kind of a criminal organization there, you have to be ready to jump in with both feet. It's not just something you can, you know, pussyfoot around. Mm. You know, people are pretty serious about that.
Now, I have a question.
No doubt.
I have a question for both of you guys. And I'll start with Josh this time. Well, actually, I'll start with Matt this time around.
Sure.
This being a speculative thing, this, as Josh and you kind of both agree on, it's more like a security almost than a... It's something that's going to go up and down. It's going to fluctuate. Knowing that there's a bubble ahead, obviously right now at $4,000 to one Bitcoin, you'd be a little bit light in the fucking head to invest right now. That would be dumb.
I sold all mine.
Yeah. Well, you're a smart guy, but, if it dips again,
when,
well, no, not just when, but if, and when it does, when it does, dip again. What is a good like? Is this a bubble that we can take advantage of? Like, will it go back up? Will there be waves, or do you think this thing is just gonna fucking die a quick death? Is it gonna be like one of those things where people just all wake up one day and go, "Wait a minute, what is Bitcoin?" and they just fucking freak out, or
no,
is it just gonna?
I think Bitcoin is always gonna be a fringe type of cryptocurrency. I don't think it's ever gonna really go mainstream, and I think right now it's pretty much at the peak of its popularity. And when it hit $3,000 per Bitcoin, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I thought that was the peak of the bubble right there. And the Bitcoin that I had, I sold because I didn't think it was going to go up to $4,500 like it did this week. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But still, you know, I got into Bitcoin when it was about $200 a coin. So I made out pretty well. And I had a very minimal investment in there. I didn't just keep I don't try to mine Bitcoin because you need insane hardware to do that now, and the electricity cost is just going to blow your margins on that.
Yeah,
do you know how much they spend in electricity per day on Bitcoin?
Isn't this also
I'm sure it's insane.
Isn't this
$13 million of electricity per day are spent to keep Bitcoin?
I'm sure the electric company loves Bitcoin. Then
they better pay their carbon.
Yeah,
tax.
I've even read something where people find like abandoned places and the electric company cuts a deal with them because.
Well, I think the founders of Bitcoin should pay their carbon taxes.
Oh, okay,
save Antarctica.
But that's not how I did my Bitcoin. Bitcoin was on a cryptocurrency trading platform called Bittrex, where I would buy other cryptocurrencies when it was low and I would sell it when it was high.
Right.
So that's how it's kind of like the stock market. You could buy low and sell high, but I don't know if you can make money on the way down like you can with stocks, because with stocks you can do what's called options trading.
Yeah, shorting.
Where
yeah.
you can buy, yeah, you could short it or you could buy a put contract. But, and as far as I know, nothing like that exists for Bitcoin. So you're just going to have to sell it while it's high, wait for it to go down, and then purchase it.
But that's my question. If it goes down again, and it's, let's say Bitcoin goes down again to like the 200 range, would you pick up a couple?
I might. I think I would.
Josh?
No. I think that the technology is utterly flawed, and due to the fact that it, you know, doesn't have to abide by any of these regulations, which are really there to protect us as much as these libertarians would have you think otherwise, you never really know. I mean, it's like musical chairs. It is pure musical chairs. So these guys have got their hand on that needle. They get to decide when the music stops, and it's never in your favor.
Well, first of all, let's get something straight. I'm going to defend libertarians. First of all, roads are overrated, okay? Okay, fuck parks. Okay, they're stupid, and they're just a waste of my money, all right? Secondly, I actually forgot the other question. I actually did.
You know what else isn't backed by anything? The dollar.
My question about Bitcoin mining.
Not true.
Bitcoin mining was something that, when it came around early on, I was tempted. But I was like, wait, so it's basically just a virus, right? Like, I'm basically giving you some of my CPU 24/7, right? Isn't that what that is? Like, you're basically, isn't Bitcoin like a giant virus? Like, isn't it Skynet? Yeah, Bitcoin's basically Skynet, people.
When you're solving the algorithms. Go ahead.
No, well, I was just, you can talk. I think I'm kind of dominating the conversation, so let's everybody hear your side of it.
Well, back when Bitcoin was first started and you did the mining for Bitcoin, is that you're trying to solve algorithms. And when you solve them, you were rewarded with what's called a block. And I believe a block at the time was either 50 or 100 coins, but it's gradually decreasing over time because there's only a set number of Bitcoins that will ever be released. But solving these algorithms, people figured out that it's actually better to use your graphic hardware than it is your CPU. So if you had a really good video card, you could actually use the GPU in that to solve these algorithms. And as the algorithms continue to get harder, people needed not better hardware, but different hardware. Hardware specifically designed to solve the certain algorithms that were in place. So people released things that you could plug into the USB. And I have one of those devices now. It's a little USB thing. You plug it in. You tell your computer that you have a Bitcoin mining device, and it'll attempt to solve the algorithms.
But what is it? But, what is these algorithms? Like, yeah, I don't understand. This is just a virus.
What does the algorithm do? Why does it make a Bitcoin?
Let me clarify a couple of things that he just said there. So, like, even most mining today, they do have those ASIC devices that plug into your USB. But the vast majority of the mining that happens in these mining farms. I think a lot of the Bitcoin insiders want people to think, you know, part of the headline to Bitcoin was that it was a peer-to-peer currency, right? Like, there was no center to it. But that is really not true. But they want to maintain that image. So, you know, they kind of market some of these little doodads that make it look like everyone is participating in the mining, when really even those little dongle things are not very profitable
not anymore.
I guess that's the point that I'm getting at, is that, like, you're talking to a guy that, like, I'm probably the most, other than my nephew, who's next generation, but in my generation and my family, and Royce in his generation and his family, we're probably the most technically savvy people in our generation of our families. But I'm not savvy enough to understand the algorithm solving and stuff. All I know is a basic principle, which is that if you say, I'm going to give you free stuff for plugging this thing into your computer and running your GPU up, like, I don't trust that. Like, well, there's something to
I'll give you a little bit of history on it. I mean, the algorithm was originally invented by a guy named Adam Back. He's a British gentleman. He's actually a very bright person. He's literally like one of the smartest people in cryptography that I know.
Diversity is our strength. Sorry, anyway, go on. Make sure you have your license for your Bitcoins.
The purpose of the thing was to actually cure the problem of spam. And the reason why it cures the problem of spam was that it uses this device of solving these problems to prove that you have a CPU so that nobody can spoof identities on the network. And later on, Adam Back may have been involved in this. I'm not sure. Took this idea and then transposed it into the world of current digital currencies. There were many other digital currencies designed before that. Like, for instance, David Chaum is a famous one. He invented a way, like an anonymous cryptocurrency that never really took off, but it was big in the 80s. You guys may have remembered all this stuff with eCash. Do you remember all that?
Oh,
it was... yeah, I think you might be talking about eGold.
No. eGold was a different thing. It was somebody in the 80s, and this technology was ready to be adopted by a lot of banks. It allowed you to use.
But they had a big problem with double spend back then, which is one of the problems that Bitcoin solved.
Well,
okay, that's
no, I'm not sure about that one. But I mean, if you're talking about eGold, as far as I understand, the problem with eGold was that it was basically just destroyed by the U.S. financial authorities, and in my view, for good reason.
Yeah, it was used for money laundering.
But what is the
child pornography and all sorts of nasty stuff? So yeah, the authorities went in there and just put an end to it.
But what does the Iron Bank have to say? Like, if the Iron Bank gets cryptocurrency, no, Westeros
enough of the
is
Iron Bank.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, we already had enough of that this season.
Okay.
I think I recall what you guys are talking about. It was in the 80s, an anonymous currency people would exchange. I believe it was called white gold. And it went right up the old...
That was their Bitcoin. Yeah. But that had actual worth.
The idea of cryptocurrency is not new. You know, and they did try to do this back in the 70s and the 80s, but they had this problem of double spend. Which is where people would be able to spoof the system and be able to spend their digital currency twice. And this algorithm that's solved through Bitcoin keeps people from doing that. When you're solving algorithms, what you're really doing is you're verifying transactions. And the more systems that are hooked up, the more transactions are verified. I mean, you can see the register of Bitcoin transactions online.
But that's essentially then you're basically a voluntary virus. It's like you're a bot. You're renting out.
I don't think I could compare this to a virus, because a virus is a malicious piece of code that writes itself to other computers for the sole purpose of destroying something or stealing information. And as far as I know, I mean, at least from going through the Bitcoin code, you know, this doesn't do any of that. It doesn't steal anything. It's not voluntary.
It's 100% voluntary, so I think virus is a bit misleading.
Right. But what I'm saying is it operates almost like a bot, right? Like, it's got the same principle to it, except you're actually getting something in return. So instead of I'm just going to steal some of your processing power, you're basically renting out. You're subletting a piece of your computer.
Yeah, but different, renting out CPU space has been used for other things too, like, you know, solving medical problems, stuff like that, where they, you know, you could voluntarily download something that would help process. PS3 had it actually when it first came out.
Or SETI, if you recall SETI. Remember the SETI screensaver?
So you could rent out CPU space in your PS3 and people would save lives?
Yeah, for real.
Fuck that. I'm not going to lag.
Okay, well, you don't have to do it while you're
playing. I want people
playing.
Calling me a noob. Sorry, little Timmy. You're going to have to die.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Okay, because I'm trying to get my kill streak up. How ironic. So anyway.
Do you count him in your kill streak?
We've only got about, like, probably 10 minutes of this, yes. And then we got to do our little outro. So I want to give you guys each, like, I don't know, a couple minutes of pop. Matt, what would you say to any critics out there of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency? Not like critics of like speculation and the pricing, but critics of its as a whole, such as Josh here.
Well, I don't really look at Bitcoin so much as a currency as I do a commodity. And if you think it's a scam, if you don't want to accept Bitcoin, you don't have to. I mean, you have the freedom to not be involved at all. And if you're a merchant or you do stuff online where you will accept Bitcoin, I think, you know, you should be able to do that. You know, one thing about Bitcoin is that, yeah, you can use it for a whole bunch of nefarious things, and because it's almost completely anonymous, and you can get away with doing it and you can launder money. But, you know, you don't need Bitcoin for that. I mean, you could do nefarious things with cash in your wallet, or you could trade gold or silver coins with other people for
Or you can open up a chain of strip clubs in the southeastern United States.
Literally. Yeah, you could do all that. But what one advantage to Bitcoin is that it allows merchants who don't have a lot of capital to process transactions online. You know, it costs money to process credit cards online, sometimes an insane amount of money. There are transaction fees, there are weekly fees, monthly fees, there are report fees that a lot of these companies will charge you. And Bitcoin is one way for people to get around that. They could accept Bitcoin. It's almost instantaneous when it goes through, and they could sell it on the market. It also allows people who don't have access to banks, like people in Africa. If they have an internet connection in Africa, they could have Bitcoin, and they can, you know, trade currency in that manner. and they don't have to go down to a bank because in the, you know, some areas of Africa, there are no banks.
And for those of you in Africa that don't have any banks, don't worry. They got rid of Gaddafi, and they're going to get rid of a few more. So they're getting some banks.
I like to find this magical place in Africa that doesn't have any banks but has internet.
Yeah. But, seriously.
Well, the man told me to mine Bitcoin. there are places where you have access to satellite internet in Africa. I've seen some pictures of people with spears on a laptop before.
Well, that was racist weird. And hilarious. Okay, summarize for Josh here, summary of your entire stance on this thing. Tell our listeners, you got a minute or two minutes.
I think to
address some of Matt's points, for one thing, it's not a commodity because it's not backed by anything of value. So that's 100% incorrect. Secondly, it's not a cheaper currency. This is a very common marketing line that the Bitcoin people constantly use. For one thing, there are transaction fees that are actually embedded into the transactions of the network. Secondly, for you to actually move Bitcoin to something where you can spend it, you know, the amount of fees that happen between the time when it's on the network and when it becomes money in your hand is not only comparable to what you would see with virtually any payment system, it's far, far worse, much, much worse, because you know the credit processors and the payment processors have to absorb the legal risk of, you know, moving Bitcoin into real cash. There's all sorts of laws that we need to abide by for instance, know your customer and anti-money laundering and all sorts of things like that. So virtually both of the things that he had outlined as being positives for Bitcoin are not true and are very, very common marketing lines. So, you know, I'm just going to stick with whatever I said before. You know, it's a scam. And it's an insider Ponzi scam. And the reason why it's become so big is because it's a new technology and they found a way to evade the authorities. My advice to virtually anyone, stay away from this thing. I've seen people get involved in this thing and suddenly they're on the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong side of the law. It's not worth it. It really isn't.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to thank both of our awesome guests tonight. I don't even know. Are we going with Stuart? For code reasons?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, I don't know, because he's got, like, stuff. Do you want to promote anything?
Yeah, you guys have anything you want to plug?
I do not.
You guys suck.
Not currently. I have a couple of projects in the works, and maybe I'll update.
We'll have you guys on again for sure. I mean, yeah, I really did like...
Yeah, look forward to hearing more of these guys, because we need, you know, you guys got some big brains on you. Look at the big brains.
I do respect his opinion. You know, it's all really valid, but I will respectfully disagree. I don't think necessarily an object is what makes somebody do illegal things. You know, it all depends on the choices that a person makes.
Also, can I make a prediction for the future of this show? That this will go down in history as probably the most polite debate.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so nice having a debate where people aren't screaming at each other.
Literally two grown-ups talking about something.
Well, and disagreeing.
I'm actually in agreement, and I'll reciprocate those comments too. I mean, he seems like you know, he has some awareness of what's going on, which is better than like 95% of the people that are these. I mean, you talk to the average Bitcoin booster and you really look at who he is. Like, he was a musician a year ago, you know, these kinds of people. Guys who just stumble into this field because it's a quick buck. I don't really see him as being one of those people. He seems far more reasoned than the average Bitcoin idiot.
Didn't those stupid twins try to get into it too? The Facebook twins, the Winklevoss. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Bogdanovs.
No.
What they wanted to do is they wanted to. You know what an ETF is?
No.
Exchange traded fund. So
it's
such a kind of financial instrument that lets you purchase.
It's like a mutual fund. You buy like a group of stocks or something, right?
Was that it?
It's similar to a stock, but it's not really a stock because it's not part of a real corporation. But that's probably all your listeners need to know. So what they tried to do is make an ETF for Bitcoin. And what that's going to do is going to let your average American 401k schmo start putting money into this network. And yeah, all the good guys were saying no, and then you had the Illuminati or something in there that were pushing this thing forward, trying to get it approved, and I believe it was killed. It was torpedoed, although it never seems to want to go away. Like, these two just don't seem to want to disappear.
I would never recommend doing that.
Well, look, see, at the end, you guys agreed on something. Thank you guys for being on. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stuart, and Josh Z, and we'll be in touch, guys. I want to have you guys on for other segments.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
That was good. That was actually, seriously, I do not folks, if, for those of you that listen to this whole thing today, don't think that future debates on
are
ever going to be this reasoned and calm. I knew that this one would be because I know that I'm probably the only guy, as I said earlier, that knows both of these guys. And I was like, you know, they're both fucking totally opposite opinion on this, but they were, they're both literally the same guy, which is why I wanted to have them on, because they're two not idiot, like they're two non-idiots discussing something they knew a lot about, just had two different opinions. See, America, that's what you're supposed to be doing out there. This is how America works.
Yes.
Come on. You go, well, respectfully, I disagree. And I choose to live my life this way. All right. Well, chip, chip, sir. And that's the end of it. So I thanks a lot again to Stuart and Josh Z for that one. That was
And again, and I agree with you. If we could have more people reasonably talk like this. And by the way, you have to understand, off air, they're completely opposite on Bitcoin. But they were able to talk and reason it out. And I think that's what we got to take away. And that's what we want to do when we go to this Juggalo march up there, too. We're not going there to shit on people. We're not going there to scream at people. We're going to have fun. We're going there to pick out, to prove that there's normal people on all sides of this. And not everyone is either a hate-filled Nazi or a fucking cuck, you know? There's a middle ground where the most of the world lives. And, of course, Mike and I
to
obviously...
To be fair, though, there are a lot of Nazis and cucks, too.
There is. We're not saying there's not.
They are out there.
We're not saying there's not. But we're saying that not everybody is. And honestly, hopefully to prove that it's a fucking minority.
Yeah. And if you are a cuck and you're listening to the show, I'll totally fuck your wife.
Yeah.
And if she's a juggalette, let us know in advance because we need one of those coming up. So
Patreon, search for We're Not Sorry.
Well,
if you
or you go to paypal.me/MershComedy. That's where we're doing all the road doc
stuff. Right, that's for the DC
and
stuff.
And then for our show, Patreon/We're Not Sorry.
Give a buck a month.
Yeah, whatever. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. And we're going to have a lot of exclusive posts
and
more stuff.
And guests.
And we're going to be bringing guys like Josh and Stuart back for, and they're also going to be writing articles and stuff for us. So it's going to be cool. Check it out. Thanks for listening today, kids.
Man, that was a lot of fun. I'm really
we're still like 10 minutes away from the hard out.
We don't have the hard out. We can end it. It's up to you. That was fun.
I think this was good.
That was good. Hey, guys. Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening.
If you pay more, we'll do the full 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And also, we're going to try, again, the more you support us, the more you're going to hear of us. If you like us, we'll be back.
And, I mean, you know, look, you kick it up to like $12 a month. I'm just saying. I'm not promising. But possible dick pics coming.
You know what? I'll promise them.
Everybody already has my dick on their phone anyway.
Remember, if we go over our goal, we will Eiffel Tower slob.
I've sent my dick to gay listeners because they just asked and they donated money.
Sometimes
before.
I send
them
to gay listeners without even though they don't ask for them. I send them anyway. So if you listen to this show,
unsolicited dick pics, folks, they are coming.
All right, guys. Hey, thank you for listening. We're out of here. How about a nice little no copyright?
This sounds like prescription drug commercial.
All right, guys. Revenge of the Sis may cause homosexuality in minors.
Celebra may cause cancer and death of the eyes. Nice.
Isn't it time the medicine works for you? Revenge of the Sis.